Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back physician, educator, talk show host, and a member of our board at Rhode Island Public Radio, Pablo Rodriguez. Good to see you, Pablo.
Saludos, amigos.
A move by the state to mandate HPV vaccinations for seventh graders sparked a sharp reaction by some opponents. Supporters say these vaccinations are a smart way of preventing more serious illnesses, but some opponents express concern about the vaccine and what they call a violation of parental rights. Pablo, you're obviously a physician. What do you make of this debate?
It's a very interesting debate because the only reason this is becoming controversial is because it's related to a sexually transmitted disease. We already have a number of mandated vaccines for children entering daycare and for children entering seventh grade. Polio, mumps, rubella, diphtheria, DPTs, and there's never been a controversy about getting those vaccines. But all of a sudden, because we are going to be giving this vaccine that has been given in other countries, in Australia, for example, they've been doing it for the last, 7-8 years with great success. Because it's related to a sexually transmitted infection, somehow people feel that by giving the vaccine, you're going to give permission for your children to have sex, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Maureen, do you agree with Pablo on why this has become so controversial?
I agree with you in terms of why it's become so controversial, but I'm more understanding in the sense that I think the way to go with this, since we are in the forefront of it, is to allow some of the exemptions and to let this work its way into the system. While I completely agree that it is a necessary event to have, I do understand some parents taking that position. It wouldn't be mine. And I think the thing is to allow some exemptions and let this move along without being too forceful, because then I think you just invite pushback.
Scott, what's your take on the debate over the HPV vaccination?
Well, I think it's much ado about not much. I think this is being pushed by some vocal pressure groups. I talked to our medical reporter, Kristen Gourlay, who says the opt-out rate so far is only about 1% of parents. So that means most parents understand that this is a needed thing. The bigger issue, though, is, look, we have 30,000 cases a year of cervical cancer. It's a serious, serious illness. If we can prevent this with a vaccine, that's a fabulous thing.
Let's talk a little bit about national politics. Donald Trump continues to draw a lot of support in the Republican side of the presidential race. I think we can understand why he appeals to some people as an atypical politician who speaks his mind, even if he's very impolitic at times. Maureen, what's your take on how far Donald Trump can go and whether he could actually win the Republican primary?
Well, I continue to think that this is the silly season. And from my own opinion, I don't think he can manage to not only take, I don't think he can win the primary. And more importantly, I think the ideas of him running a third party candidacy is completely out of the question. Ross Perot won over 20 million votes, did not get one electoral vote. Donald Trump does not want to go out a loser. He wants to, on the top of his game, he wants to step down, that's what I would say, so he can continue to remind us about how it would have been had he only been elected.
And Ross Perot helped elect Bill Clinton, Scott. So what kind of ultimate impact do you expect Donald Trump to have on this presidential race?
He's already having a problem, I think, both getting a national drift and getting traction. He is hurting the Republican Party, I think, but I only blame them because they embrace the Tea Party. And once you embrace this stuff to win a couple of midterms, then your problem is the tail is wagging the dog. The other problem is the Republicans' refusal to do anything, particularly in the House, on immigration reform has kept this issue alive. Had they passed some kind of immigration reform, this fight would have been behind us largely, and Trump would be just blowing in the wind.
Don't you think it's unrealistic that this would be behind us in any case?
No, I don't. I think that it would be much less volume. The volume would be turned down quite a bit.
Pablo Rodriguez, Donald Trump has very high unfavorability ratings among Latinos. Not surprisingly, he had a standoff with Jorge Ramos of Univision this week. What is your sense of where Donald Trump's campaign is headed?
The longer Donald Trump remains on the race, the less the Latino community is going to look favorably at any candidate in the Republican Party. And that's why, because the other candidates have been, dancing to his tune, and using language and changing their own their own stated policies already just to respond to Donald Trump. And I see Donald Trump as a merengue teacher in a merengue dance contest, and all the other people don't know how to dance.
What would you say to his supporters who think he's saying something useful about the immigration issue?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, deporting 11 million people, building a multi-billion dollar fence that's going to be built by Mexican immigrants, by the way, and pushing for policies that are absolutely and completely unrealistic. But yet he is raising the volume and of the conversation, and he's giving permission for the most extreme elements in this country to raise their voice and use the same language that he's using.
38 Studios has been back in the news, and Superior Court Judge Michael Silverstein has been considering for months whether to unseal documents related to 38 Studios. Lawyers for some of the defendants being sued by the state say these documents shouldn't be released piecemeal. Others say the public has a right to know. Scott, how do you come down on this?
Release them all or don't release any of it.
How about you, Pablo?
I am with Scott. This is why people are so upset about this whole thing, because they feel that the game is rigged and that everything is hidden and that the real culprits are not coming out. Let the air is the best disinfectant.
Maureen, why is the judge taking so long to weigh this argument about whether to unseal the documents?
Well, I think there's such demand, mostly from the press, too. They want to see everything as soon as possible. But I do agree with the position that things like this get taken out of context and have legal ramifications down the road. So I'm with my colleagues here in the sense that we need to release everything, but at once. And I have great faith in Judge Silverstein to do the right thing.
And we can't end without an update on the PawSox situation. Larry Lucchino this week visited Victory Square, touted as an alternative site for a PawSox stadium, but the team says it remains solely focused on part of the former 195 land. Scott, how do you think the Raimondo administration, which has been very cool on the stadium proposal, will ultimately come down on this?
I wouldn't be surprised if, after a deal comes out, if she quickly commissions a good political poll to find out which way she ought to go. Don't forget, she was all in with this project at first when she told the late Jim Skeffington that she did not want to be the governor to lose the PawSox on her watch. Public opinions changed since then, and I think one of the problems is even elite groups like the Providence Preservation Society coming out against the downtown park has really hurt it.
Very quickly, Maureen?
Yeah, this deal is unraveling, and it may be that they look more seriously at Victory Park. The one thing I don't think is going to happen is they're not going back to Pawtucket. And the irony is that's the group that's really driving this.
And very quickly, Pablo.
The one person that can make or kill this deal is Mattiello, our speaker. He's the only one, the leader at a state level that is really pushing for this to happen.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Pablo Rodriguez.
Muchas gracias.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.